Before we get started, if I could everybody stand to your feet with me as we come together in a time of prayer. And this is such a special point for me, I feel like, when we actually get to pray together, when I get to lead this prayer, as we just enjoin our Almighty Father and God and in our petitions and in our requests. And so I just want to remind you that as I pray this, if you have something particular, you can lift that up as well in this time. This is not a show on me here, but we're just leading us together as a congregation. So if you could bow your heads with me. Father, we are so, so thankful to just wake up today with breath in our lungs, to be able to come together today, to have an annual meeting where we just get to rekindle what we know that you have done in our church, be reminded of the moving that you have been doing through this congregation. We thank you so much for the opportunities that we've had, the benefits that we've been able to give to the world in your name. We ask that this would be a day of really togetherness, of bringing everybody together in one spirit as we move forth into another year together, as we move forward and just continue to try to bring your word, your son, and the redeeming life that you provide to this community and to this world. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And while everybody's standing, if you wouldn't mind, just scoot up as we start into these announcements, getting a little closer. Let's get cozy together today. It is our annual meeting, and we're excited for it. First up on our announcements, Tuesday, April 30th, that is this Tuesday, we will be bringing home to the homeless. So come and help us be the hands and feet of Jesus as we feed those in need and also share the gospel. We are feeding people physically. We are feeding them spiritually. And we are so excited that Majesta has been helping put this all together. So if you have any questions, you can talk to her. But we will be meeting at 4 p.m. for the preparation of the food and 5:30 for distribution of the food. So please make sure that you come out and join us for that. May 11th, we are having our mother-daughter brunch at 10 a.m. Red Hawk Golf Course. That's right. Very excited about this. If you are not a mother, that's okay. All the ladies are welcome. We are so excited just to have you all get together and commune together. It is $20 per person, and the sign-up is in the foyer. Like I said, this is open to all women and girls. Whether you are a grandmother, mother, daughter, you're married, you're single, it doesn't matter. Come on out, enjoy some fellowship with other ladies. May 4th, that is this Saturday, so please do not forget, mark this one in your calendars. We are having our annual car wash and taco fundraiser. I think this is our third year for Amanda and I doing this fundraiser now, and I cannot thank everybody enough because every year this fundraiser is a huge success. It is all thanks to you. So please, please come out and support our teens on this. We are raising money for the teens camp later on, but also for the Elevate Retreat where we will be going to Point Loma Nazarene University in San Diego, California. So we are excited to raise these funds. We need all of your help that we can get. Please come on in. Bring the dirtiest car you can. Bring a bicycle if you don't have a car. If not, we will just wash your feet. If you don't have a car or a bike, come on in walking, and we will get whatever mode of transportation you have cleaned and on its way. Thursdays at 6:30, we are continuing our marriage and dating series. Everybody is invited to this, so if you are a married couple, if you are a single person, this is for you. If you are a teenager or a preteen, we've got a special section set aside for you. We have childcare available for kids under 10, so literally just bring the whole family. Everybody's welcome. We're having a great time every Thursday. And then the year-end annual church meeting is today after service. So, after service, please don't go anywhere. just stay here, join us. We're going to come together, and we're just going to take a moment to celebrate together everything God has been doing in this church this year. We are so excited for it. Just these little reminders help so much in those trying times when things feel like they're lulling or they're coming and they're slowing down. You're thinking, what have I even been a part of in this time? These meetings are a great little pick-me-up, a reminder to say, God has been moving so much through our church and our community. And anyway, we're just really excited. So please make sure you stay after that and join us for that. And I'm going to have everybody come to your feet one more time. And we're going to enjoy a little meet and greet. Take a few minutes, go say hello to somebody, and we will come back in a few minutes.
All right, if everybody could get back to your seats, bring it on in, get nice and close. It is a beautiful day out there today that God has blessed us with, isn't it? So this morning I have the honor of going over our tithe and offering. God put a lot on my heart about this one. And you think of your tithe is 10% of what you earn. Your offering is whatever else you can give after that. Neither one of these things are an obligation from Christ. The only obligation is that you receive what he has offered to you, which is his offering. He does request and require that we give a tithe. But I want you guys to look at a deeper offering today. And that offering is your time. What can you do with your time to give to God? I'm not saying don't give your tithe. I'm not saying don't financially support your church, because that is always a blessing that we should, from the bottom of our hearts, give. But what are you doing for your church? Where is your time going? Is it going towards, I show up on Sundays and I walk out and that's the end? Or are you coming here and you're devoting your life to God? I have a couple different verses that, if you guys have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. 2 Corinthians 8:12 is the first verse. It says, "Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly and give according to what you have and not what you don't have." A lot of people don't have financial stability to be able to give financially. That's why your time is so important. We're only here for a short time. So as we go forward, I had a second verse. It's Luke 20:25. And it says, "Give God your best." Oh, it says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God," which to me says, give God your best. Your money is your money. You give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is his, which is you and your time and every bit of you. So I'd like to go into prayer, and I'd like to pray over our offering and our time. We have three ways that you can financially give. One is online, one is by mail, and one is through the offering boxes that we have. We thank you all so much for the people who have been tithing earnestly and offering eagerly with an open heart and giving all that you can. Every bit of what you give helps support our church and helps us to grow our ministries and to be able to go out and do things like feeding the homeless and to have breakfasts for men and women and to send our kids to quizzing. All of these things are things that help our ministry grow so that we can speak to the rest of the world. So if you guys would bow your heads with me as we bless this offering this morning. Father God, I ask that you will speak to many people today. Let them realize that if they don't have money, that there is other ways to give that benefit your kingdom. Father, I ask that you take the money that we give to your house today and that you bless it and it goes to every ministry that is needed, that it helps keep the power turned on, that it helps keep the families fed that are needing food. Father, I thank you for every moment that you give us in your house, in your glory. Father, I ask that you will bless the sermon today, that you will be with our pastor as he speaks your word and he speaks truth to us. Father, I ask that you will just give us this overwhelming joy from the feeling of your love and your word. thank you so much for what you've done in my life, my family's life, my church family's lives. Thank you, God, for all that you do. Amen.
Can you hear me? Okay. This morning, I will be reading a scripture from Psalms 150 about praise. And God has really placed on my heart to share with you the importance of praise. Because a lot of people look at David as a mighty warrior. He was strong in the Lord. But he knew the importance of praising God. And he knew that from a young age, and he carried that through him, with him throughout his whole life. So I encourage you this morning, it's not easy to step out and come out of your comfort zone. It's not easy because the world tells you not to do that, and Satan for sure will tell you not to do that, not to raise your hands, not to clap, not to shout a praise. But if you feel that calling this morning, that God, who has given his entire life to you, who has sacrificed in ways that we can never comprehend, if you feel a leading to stand up this morning and praise God in a new way, to raise your hands, to clap, to shout hallelujah to our Savior and our King. This is Psalms 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Cuán grande es Dios, cántale alabanza, de Dios y todos lo verán. Cuán grande es Dios. Lift your voice, church. Sister said in the scripture, it said make a clash. So Carlos, do me a favor, man, can you really hit those cymbals this morning? Y'all ready for a clash this morning? Like a good, just a yes for our Savior and our Lord. We have a birthday in the house this morning. I believe it's, where's Lux this morning? Okay, so we say happy birthday to Lux. Happy birthday, Lux. Yeah. Hallelujah. Who's ready to worship Jesus this morning? Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Yes, Lord, I say.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes,
yes, Lord, amen. Yes.
I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of
will endure, and His joy is gonna be my strength.
Yeah. Though sorrow may last for the night, the joy comes in the morning.
I'm trading my sorrow.
I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of.
we're going to open the altars as we sing this song. You want to pray this morning? You want to come to the altar? You want to lay something at the feet of Jesus? Let's do that right now as we continue worshiping Him. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship You. I worship You. You are here, working in this place. I worship You. I worship You. You are
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, light. That is who You are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who You are.
Respondió, ¿quién dio la boca al hombre o quién hizo al mudo y al sordo? Al que ve y al ciego, no soy yo Jehová. Ahora pues ve y yo estaré con tu boca y te enseñaré la lo que hayas de hablar.
Let's sing that in Spanish.
Milagroso, abres camino, cumples promesas, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios, así eres tú. Milagroso, abres camino, cumples promesas, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios, así eres tú.
Señor, qué maravilloso día, Señor. Hay gozo en tu presencia. Hay las mañanas con la alabanza. Señor, nos exaltamos tu presencia en este día, Señor. Gracias por todo lo que haces en nuestra congregación, Señor, en nuestra comunidad. Y que en esta mañana la palabra que venga de nuestro pastor, de nuestro líder, Señor, fortifique nuestros corazones, fortalezca nuestros corazones, Señor. Cada día, Señor, nos parezcamos un poco más a ti, Señor. Nos vayamos acercando a ti espiritualmente, Señor. Gracias por todo. En el nombre de Jesús oramos. Amén.
Amén. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Father, in Jesus' name, that is who you are. It's not just a song we sing, but it's we this morning that believe that very truth. We believe that in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for friends and family. We thank you for our church family. Father, we even thank you for our family over the hill, Father. And I just pray a blessing over our churches in the surrounding areas, Lord. What a reminder. We are such a part of a big thing, Lord. It's not just us, Lord. It's a global thing. And what an honor and a privilege it is to be a part of a global ministry. Father, I pray for my pastor, Lord, Pastor Steve, and my new pastor, Father, Pastor Darren. I pray a blessing over them both, Father. May your spiritual anointing, as it overflows from them, come unto myself and unto this place, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Do not hide your face from me, I pray in Jesus' name. But Father, in Jesus' name, only because of you and only through you can you change lives, and lives and hearts can be changed and transformed into your image, Father. And so, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for the chains that are going to be broken this morning. The addictions are going to be broken. Father, the things that our flesh loves, but we know it's not right, is going to be broken this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, Father, I pray you just go before me. Speak to every heart. May your light shine. And may we walk out of here. Even though we've read this verse many times, may he speak to us in a new way. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, church. Give our worship team a hand this morning. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, kids, I have an announcement for you this morning. We got the home church kids in the house? If we got the home church kids in the house, I want the kids to say amen. Do we have the home church kids in the house?
Amen.
Amen. I got some news for you this morning. We have a new children's director, and her name is Michelle Delgado. Michelle, can you please stand to your feet? Where's Michelle? Can we give Michelle a hand this morning? Amen. Amen. And I want also in this moment, I would like our children's director who has been there with me through the thick and thin, when she's felt like quitting, when she's felt like, because again, at the end of the day, she wanted to be more of a grandma than a children's director. Let's just be real. And you know what? I so appreciate her heart and her faithfulness through the thick and thin with not only our church, but with me at the end of the day. Ms. Jane, can you please stand? Can we give her a hand this morning? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let's stand this morning. Yes, yes. Give her a hand this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jane, 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 Jane. Yes. Mama Jane, we so appreciate you and your faithfulness. Amen. Who's ready for the word of God this morning? Hallelujah. If you're visiting with us to home church, we're so blessed to have you. We're so thankful to have you. I'm so excited for after service. We're going to be having our yearly meeting. We're going to have a little video, and it's just the tip of the iceberg of what our church has done. And so I'm excited to show that and to just give you some updates with our church board and staff this morning. Luke chapter 17, turn there with me, Luke chapter 17 this morning. So good to see familiar and new faces this morning. It's so good to see what God is doing in this place. We want to say a prayer for all those as well who couldn't make it this morning, those who are sick in body and are watching online this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness to the house of God. Luke chapter 17, we'll be starting in verse 11. If you're there, say amen. If you need some more time, say please. No? Okay. Are we ready to read? All right. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 9. And it reads, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.'" Now this is, stop right there. This is a command that Jesus never gave, at least from what I see in the scripture, Jesus never gave anyone else. He's healed a lot of people. And he tells these men to go see the priest. He does this for a reason. Let's continue reading. "And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a," what? "A Samaritan." Notice there are 10 of them. 9 are Jews. 9 are, I don't know, American citizens. 9 are African citizens, whatever. And 1 is a Samaritan. One is a foreigner. 9 are Jews, 1 is a Samaritan, and he's the only one, the Samaritan is the only one that comes back and says thanks. Verse 17, "So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? That's a whole sermon right there in itself. I mean, can you imagine healing somebody? How about this? You ever give somebody a gift? You ever do something for somebody and they don't say thank you? You know? Now you know how Jesus feels. Now, but this was more than a gift, I think. I mean, he cleansed them. I mean, leprosy is a crazy thing, and even Jesus is kind of shocked. He's kind of like, wait, what? No Chick-fil-A sauce? What? What? What's going on? What? No Chick-fil-A. For the older ones, they're like, what did he just say? What's going on? You younger ones know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. And so Jesus is right here. He's in this moment. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. I want to read this one more time, verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the? Were there not any found who returned to give? To give?
Glory.
To give?
Glory.
To God? Except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. In the King James Version, the word is actually whole. Someone say whole. I want to be made whole this morning. Whole is the actual word. Sozo in the Greek. Someone say sozo. Sozo, whole, complete, restored, undivided, whole. I want to talk to you about how to be made whole. It's important that we understand the message of leprosy in the Old Testament. God talks about it almost, he compares it to sin, leprosy. I researched leprosy and found there's a resemblance in what sin does to a person and what leprosy does to a person. Somebody say leprosy.
Leprosy.
10 lepers. How many?
10.
Kids, how many?
10.
10 lepers. All of them have the same disease, all of them watching a part of their body fall off. A part of their body die either on a weekly or daily basis. An entire arm would come off. An entire ear comes off. A nose comes off. It's a horrible, horrible disease. Some say it's worse than HIV. Having leprosy is a horrible disease. If you're a leper, you're an outcast. If you have leprosy, there is no church for you. There is no invitation to the birthday party. If you got leprosy, you're not going to Lux's party today. There's no party. There's no hope for tomorrow. If you got leprosy, you're an outcast. You're a scavenger. You can't even provide for yourself. There is no hope. If you got leprosy, it's over. You're an outcast. You're one of those who are like mummy, like you're scavenging, looking for food in the night. No one wants to be around you. You have leprosy. It starts with just a little speck, just a little speck, a little sin, and it spreads to the rest of the body. It starts to consume. Can we just do something real quick in this moment? Can we silence our phones this morning? Can we do that? Amen? Amen. Thank you for that reminder. One of the major effects, it begins to kill the nerve endings. So you can't feel anymore. You used to be able to feel. You felt like, you felt bad when you sinned, when you did something bad, doing certain things. But when sin really starts taking hold of your life, you lose feeling. You no longer get, you don't feel guilty anymore when you take the cookie out of the cookie jar, when your mom says, don't touch the cookie jar. All of a sudden, you don't feel guilty anymore because you do it so many times, and you just start lying to yourself and to, no, I didn't do it, and then it leads to other things, and you start lying about other things, and it you no longer feel it anymore. Victims feel no pain because they don't even know they're infected. 10 of these zombie-like creatures are infected with this, and they're approaching Jesus. They're walking towards Jesus. And some say when you have leprosy, you could be sitting next to a fire, and your arm can be on fire, and you don't even know. You can't even feel it, and all of a sudden your skin is burning. And you don't even know, and then you're like, oh, because you can't feel anymore. That's what sin does as it continues to grow. And they're approaching Jesus. They heard about Jesus. They heard about who?
Jesus.
They heard about Jesus. How did they hear about Jesus? I don't know. I don't know how they heard about him. Maybe they heard that he touched the untouchable. He loved the unlovable. Maybe they heard that he's the great physician. Maybe they heard this man will actually give you a hug. He healed another leper. He healed somebody else that had leprosy. And so these 10 guys start walking towards Jesus. Can you picture that in your mind? Close your eyes with me and imagine 10 guys walking towards you, walking towards Jesus that cannot be around anyone. And they're walking towards Jesus. And they start saying, Son of David. Say that with me. No, I don't think they said it like that, but this is not a moment. I think they said, Son of David. Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus, he heard their cry. This is an issue a counselor can't fix. This is an issue a psychiatrist can't fix. This is an issue an earthly doctor can't even fix. There's only one place to go. You need to go to church. You need to go to the house of God. He says, you need to go to the temple. You need to go to the temple. You need to get under some anointed preaching. Because life and sin has a way of taking a little bit of your spiritual body piece by piece. You start burying pieces of your spiritual body. Next thing you know, can't feel anymore, and part of your life is gone. You ever feel like your life, part of your life has been stolen from you, been taken from you? Can I get an honest witness in the house? I was talking with some teenagers the other day. I appreciate their honesty. They're telling me the truth. I feel like part of me is gone. I feel like I've lost everything. And as they went, they were healed. I could see those lepers running back to their houses, running back to their home. And as they're running back, they're no longer, the infection is no longer spreading. All of a sudden, it's no longer oozing. It's no longer got no one pus inside. They're running back home, and maybe their mom is in the kitchen, and she's got her apron on, and I could see her taking her apron off, saying, "My son's returned. He's home. You're healed." I can't believe this. I can hug you now. I can hug you now. You're healed. But one out of the 10 did not do that. One out of the 10 turns around before he goes home. I'm sure he was excited. I'm sure he wanted to see his family. I'm sure he wanted to see some people he hasn't seen in a long time. But before he goes home, the first thing that he does, he says, I need to go back to Jesus, and I need to thank him for what he did in my life. I need to thank Jesus for what he did. I need to worship him. Thanking him. And something happens to him that did not happen to them. All of them were healed of their leprosy, but they did not get made whole. Someone say whole. 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 He returned. He became a worshiper of Jesus. He was restored completely. I want you to understand the word whole. Somebody say whole again. We're going to really whole. Whole means complete, together, unbroken, undivided. It's not damaged. It's whole. Whole. You know, they have medicine that can stop leprosy from spreading, but if you have leprosy and it's taken a finger, if it's taken your finger, if it's taken your ear, if it's taken your eye, it can't bring it back. It can stop the infection from spreading, but it can't give back what you've lost. They still look like what they went through. They have the effects of the disease, of what it did to them. They still look like the pain from what they've been through. Can somebody say and know what I'm talking about? They still got the effects of what it did to them. But when Jesus gets done with the one who came back and worshiped him, he fell down on his knees. He didn't come to Jesus like I saw. I was so brokenhearted. I even talked to my pastor about this. I could not believe this. I'm standing there. I'm thinking to myself, how can teenagers, when God has saved them and they've set their families free, not stand and just worship the Creator, the King of Kings, but instead just kind of like, this leper goes back and falls down at his knees, and he begins to worship Jesus, thanking him for what he did. And when Jesus gets done with the one, he didn't say this to the other nine. He says, be made well, be made whole, sozo. Not only is he healed from leprosy, but his fingers are coming back. His ear is coming back. His life is restored. That's what worship can do for you. I think a lot of people, when they go to church, they look at us and other churches, and they think to themselves, look at that band up there. I got inspired when I was over the hill. I added this to myself. I just started writing. Man, look at that band up there. They don't know what it's like to be neglected. They look so sharp and nice. They don't know what it's like to not have a father in their life. Look at this drummer up here. He don't know what it is to have parents that are divorced. He don't know what it's like. Look at these singers. They don't know what it's like to be divorced. They don't know what it's like to lose everything. They don't know what it's like when you're a child and you've been hurt by somebody you love, by somebody who thought you loved you. They don't know what it's like to be hurt, to be lied to be, they don't know what it's like. No. It's not that we don't know what it's like. It's just that we started worshiping Jesus and we don't look like what we've been through. That's a big difference there. We started worshiping Jesus. And by the grace of God. And that's why I preach the gospel, and that's why we sing the songs we sing, because we know only Jesus can fix certain things. It's only Jesus who can do that. What a blessing it is to be a part of Home Church of the Nazarene, be a part of a family, an organization, a body of Christ that preaches the gospel. We know it's only Jesus that can do certain things. Matter of fact, it's only Jesus that can do anything for us. It's not that we don't know, it's just we started worshiping Jesus. Just because I don't look like what I've been through doesn't mean I didn't go through it. Just because my kids don't look like what they've been through doesn't mean they didn't go through craziness. You know, if you smoke 2 or 3 pack cigarettes a day, let's just be real this morning, whatever it is, you smoke 2 or 3 a pack cigarettes a day, it's just a matter of time, you're going to look like an ashtray. Can somebody say amen? Huh? Let's just be real, you know? You're going to start looking like, smelling like a cigarette. You hang with, listen to me, teenagers, you start hanging with dopey friends and you start passing the weed around and you smoking that weed, that roach clip, you know, that little clip, that roach clip. Somebody, don't try to act all holy on me. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking. You're passing that roach clip around and taking a little hit. All of a sudden, it's just a matter of time, you start looking like the roach clip. You're going to start looking like your brain is going to, you know. You start hanging out with those hoochie mamas and the trap queens, and you start dressing like them, and it's just a matter of time. You're going to look like what you're going through. You're going to look like what you've been through. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. But Jesus can take people who have been through bankruptcy. Jesus can take people who've been through addiction and bondage and sorrow and divorce and heartache. And when the leopard came home, he was made whole. And you just got to know, his family said, "Is that really you? Is that really you? You don't look like who you used to be. You've been made whole." You see, a lot of people pray for healing, but for many years, I've always prayed for restoration, to be restored completely, to be made whole. That's a big difference. I don't want to look like what I've been through. And oh, do I got a testimony to share? Let me tell you what Jesus brought me through. I have no problem sharing that. But when you see me today, I am different than I was yesterday. Just like there are people, when God gets through with them, they will say to you, "Is that really you? I remember when, man, you used to kick back. We used to go tailgating. You were, man, you cussed like a sailor. It was good old John, man. That was you, my man. What happened to you? You're not the same man anymore. We used to go down to the club after work, $2 tacos at the, you know, when I used to work for an electric company, man, the guys after work, they want to take me, "Hey, we're going to go to the Fantasy, whatever the place, get the cheap tacos over there, man, come on." No, I think I'll pass. I think I'll go to Del Taco. They got cheap tacos there too. I'm good. But see, the devil wants to rob you. The devil wants you to look like what you've been through. The devil wants you to sing the "Somebody's Done Me Wrong" song all your entire life. He wants you to be a victim. But see, when Jesus gets done with you, when you allow him, when you worship him, when you ask him to restore you, and you thank him, not only for what he's done, but for who he is. Oh, my goodness. Not looking like what you've been through reminds me of the story. He says, "Turn it up 7 times hotter. Turn that sucker up right now. Tevin's 7 times. Turn it up. That's not hot enough." I mean, throwing somebody in a fire is pretty hot. He said he wasn't good with that. He said 7 times more. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into the furnace, bound. And you can see Nebuchadnezzar, he goes over there and he's wiping off the, he's looking inside. He's looking in there. Are they cooking? Are they cooked? What's going on? Huh? And all of a sudden he looks, he says, "Wait a second. Didn't we throw 3 at there? I see 4, and one looks like the Son of God." Yeah. What? And all of a sudden, I like what it says. It says that they were loosed. So 3 plus fire equals 4. Huh? A lot of people want shortcuts in life. They just want the easy Christian life. But at some point, you're going to go through the fire. But see, when you go through the fire with Jesus, you're going to come out on the other side loose. And you're not going to look like what you've been through. Because when you go through with Jesus, when they came out, not a hair on their head was singed. Not a hair. His name was Legion. You can look it up in Mark chapter 5, because he was a possessed man. He was a crazy man. He was possessed. He had 6,000 demons. Legion means, in military terms, is 6,000 soldiers. So Legion. So even if it was 100 demons, that's a lot of personalities, okay? Has a lot of, you ever met somebody that has multiple personalities? This guy has 6,000 demons. 6,000 demons living inside of him. He would rip his clothes off. He would be in the tombs. He would cut himself. He was scarred all over his body. This man was crazy, and I love what the story says. When Jesus came to the shore, the Bible said to this man who had this man who had 6,000 demons came and he fell at the feet of Jesus and started worshiping him. A man with 6,000 demons came, ran to Jesus, fell at Jesus' feet and started worshiping him. A man with 6,000 demons. What's our problem? Six thousand demons worshiping God. That shows me that no devil in hell, no sickness in hell, no legion in hell can stop us from worshiping God. And I love what it says, when the village came, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. He didn't look like what he'd been through. I'm sure he still had the scars. I'm sure he still had the cuts, but he was clothed and in his right mind. Amen. I think I have time for one more. I want to go to Solomon's temple. I have two more here, but I'm gonna go to Solomon's temple. God said to David, you remember King David? Remember David? David and Goliath? Huh? He said to David, he said, your son is young and tender. He says he can't build the temple. He don't have the material he needs. So I need you to go get the material. You're a bloody man, David. You're gonna go fight some wars. God said, you're a bloody man. He told David, your son is young and tender. He doesn't have the materials. He needs materials right now, so you're going to go get the material for him, and you're going to fight some wars, David. The Bible says he's a bloody man. What a contrast. David, in one time, he's a bloody man. He's a warrior. And the next minute, he's playing the harp. Bring, bring. Talk about a contrast, huh? He's a warrior. When I think of a warrior, I think of somebody like Rambo with a bandana and I think of our security team. You know what I'm saying? Just like ready. And then the next minute he's bring, 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 playing the harp. It blows my mind. He's a killer. It's hard to imagine. He wrote songs about it. He break their teeth, oh God. Smite them, O God. Crush them as dirt of the earth, O Lord, I praise thee. Bring, bring, bring. He's the kind of guy who will chop someone up and then put them in the Bible and write a poem about it. This guy is crazy. He's a bloody man. And God says, I want you to go and gather all the gold. I want you to gather all the silver, all the precious stones, all the curtains and the cedars. I want you to grab the marble, all the floor. I want you to grab everything, and I want you to lay it at the foot of Mount Moriah. I want you to go lay it at the mount. And when you leave this world, David, when you leave this world, everything better be there ready for your son to build my temple. And they say Solomon's temple was one of the most beautiful things ever built in the entire world. They say if you go to the Taj Mahal, got nothing compared to what Solomon's temple was. So beautiful, so gorgeous. You fast forward a little bit, let's just say if you went with Solomon into his temple, he would walk with you through the temple and he would say, you see that gold? Look at that gold. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that pretty? Isn't that precious? Look at the silver. Look at the curtains. And you'd know why you would say, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. I want to stay here. I want to live here. This is magnificent. Solomon would say, you see that Ark of the Covenant? Look at that breastplate for the high priest. Those 12 stones represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Look how beautiful. You see that ruby there? Look how beautiful that is. You would have walked out going, wow, that's amazing. But if you would have went with David, I think David would have told you a different story. I think David would have said something like, you see that gold over there? I got that from a house of a prostitute. When I attacked the Hittites, I brought it back to the temple. I sprinkled some blood on it. I dedicated it to our God. And now, look, it's right there. You see how beautiful that is? You see the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, those stones on the breastplate, the high priest? You know that red ruby right there? I pried it out of the god of some Amorites and that they worshipped. And I took it out of his eyes. I brought it back. I sprinkled some blood on it. And I dedicated it to our God. And now it doesn't look like what it's been through. And I thought to myself, you and I were lost. I was in the world. Came from a messed up family. Broken. Pieces of our life being cut off. But the Son of God, Son of David, named Jesus Christ, a bloody man, said, I can use him. I can use her. And I think I'm going to pry them out of this world. I'm going to sprinkle my blood on them. And they're not going to look like what they went through. And I'm going to put them up on this stage. I'm going to put them up on this stage. I'm going to take Jane. I'm going to take Emily. I'm going to take Majesta. I'm going to take Ansa. I'm going to take Jen. I'm going to take Luke. I'm going to take people who have been through this crazy world. And they're going to become worshipers of me. And they're not going to look like what they went through. My blood has covered them. You know, worship is not a time filler. My eyes were opened again. So many pastors we have these little huddles and circles and emails and what's going on in the world? Why is it? Nobody wants to worship. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, when it comes to worshiping God, nobody's worshiping God. Everyone's talking. Everybody's focused on something else. And we had this time to worship God. Unless these people are worshiping God on their knees, falling on their knees and worshiping, singing to him during the week, I don't know. But when it comes to worship, is not a time filler before the sermon comes. If we don't get this aspect, we will never be made whole. Mark my words. Jesus can heal you, but if you want to be made whole at some point in your life, you got to worship Jesus. Amen. And I thought to myself, I've been thinking to myself too, I'm going, you know, it's crazy. What does a man with 6,000 demons have to worship God for? What does he say? It says he ran to Jesus and worshiped him. What does a man with 6,000 demons, what does he say? Thank you, God, that I'm going crazy? Thank you, God, I've lost everything, that my family has deserted me, that I've been bullied all my life, I was raped. Who knows what happened in his life? He's gone crazy. What does he have to worship God for? Some people in life only worship God when he checks off their little list. Their little list that I've given God. And then when he does it, they might become an enthusiastic worshiper, maybe. They might stand for worship, maybe. They might engage in worship and thank him. I don't know. But what does a man with 6,000 demons got to worship God for? You see, I worship Jesus not for what he's done, but for who he is. Because whether or not he answers my prayers or he doesn't, because trust me, there's a lot of prayers that I have he has not answered. There's a lot of things in my life I've been asking God for ever since I was 13 years old, and it's still not happened. But even if it doesn't, I worship him for who he is, not for what he's done. Not for what he's done for me, but for who he is. Teenagers, you need to worship Jesus. Preteens, you need to worship God. I don't want to go through the routine. But if we will begin out of our pain, out of our hurt, out of our depression, out of our sorrow, take our eyes off ourselves and put them on God, we could be made whole. We could be made whole. If we give him worship like someone with leprosy, if we give him worship like someone with 6,000 demons, if we could give him worship after he's cleansed us, after he's saved us, after he's put things back in order, we go back to the temple. We go back to him. We say, I worship you, Jesus, Son of David, Son of God. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Hallelujah. I worship you. You have chosen me. You have saved me. You have redeemed me. You've cleansed me. You've chosen me and us. Worship you. We're going to be made whole. We're going to be made whole. Amen? Amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. God is going to do a new thing in so many of us. God is going to prune not only physically outside, but inside the church. He's going to start pruning our lives. He's going to start pruning our ministries. He's going to start pruning me. But that's a good thing, because even though we don't like to be pruned sometimes, new growth is going to come. And as a father, as a parent, maybe you've made some mistakes in life. You become a leper. You no longer feel the weight of your sin. You no longer feel the guilt of what you've done. It's there, but it's not what it used to be. I'm here to remind you this morning. 10 lepers came to Jesus. May you and I be the one who comes back to him and says thank you. Amen. And worships him. Amen? Amen? And may we be made whole. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for our general superintendent, our district superintendent, our Church of the Nazarene. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the honor and the privilege it is that I can stand here and worship, that I can stand here and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for our church board and for our staff that allow me and our church. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're here this morning, and before anyone leaves, I always want to give everyone here an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I want to give everyone here an opportunity to not walk out of these doors. We don't know our time. You know, it doesn't matter how young you are. You could be 12 years old. You don't know tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You can be, it don't matter your age. It don't matter if you've lived all your life and you lived a crazy life. Don't matter. This morning, Jesus is here this morning to remind you. He died for you. He loves you. He wants to forgive you of all your sin. If you just come to the cross, you ask for forgiveness. If you just come to him, humble, humble. Say, God, forgive me. Because not one of us in this place came into this world perfect. We all need a Savior. We all need Jesus. This morning, Pastor, I'm not right with God. Jesus is not living in my heart. If I was to die today, I would not make heaven my home. Or you're not sure. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I have no idea. I think I would. Well, you can know for sure this morning. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. This morning, say, Pastor, I would like to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. No one's looking around, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. You just raise your hand all across this place. Pastor, pray for me. Pray with me. God sees that hand. Anyone else? God sees that hand. Honest hearts. Honest hearts. God sees that hand. God sees that hand. God sees that hand. Amen. Anyone else? God sees that hand. Yes. Yes. Thank you. God sees that hand. God sees that hand. Hallelujah. Honest heart. Yes. God sees that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? You're here this morning. It don't matter if you've done it before. You're here this morning and say, you know, I want to make right with Christ. I want to give Jesus my life. You raise your hand. God sees that hand. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God sees that hand. Keep your hands held high. Keep your hands held high. You raise your hand. Keep your hands held high. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now, for those who lifted your hand, I want you to look at me right now. You got your hands raised. Look at me right now. Yes, you. Yes, my brother. Come right now. Bring your family. Come right now. Yes, yes, you come. Can we give God praise this morning? Yes, come. Come to the altar. Yes, lady in the back. My sister right here. Come. Come. My brother, come. Come. Sister, come. Just face me. Go ahead and face me. Just face me. Just face me right here. Can I get my church family to come behind these right now in Jesus' name? I mean, no, we're not alone. Amen. We are not alone. We are in this together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray the prayer of forgiveness. We're going to ask Jesus into our heart, into our life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's nothing more beautiful sometimes than seeing young ones and fathers with their kids and mothers with their children. Amen. Here, asking the Lord. Hallelujah. Young lady, mean this with your whole heart. So good to see you. Amen. So, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Repeat with me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. May this not just be another prayer. May this turn into my lifestyle. I surrender to you fully. I give you my heart once again. Help me through this life. May I follow in your footsteps. I do believe you died for me and you rose again. And I do believe you are coming back again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All heaven is rejoicing. Amen. Hold on. Stay where you're at. Stay where you're at. I want to sing that song. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, that is who you are. Some of you this morning don't know what is really going on behind the scenes right now, but God is moving in this place in ways we don't know. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Before we sing that again, I want you to think of that obstacle in your life, whatever it is. Maybe may it be cancer, may it be whatever it is, that thing in your life that you're like, I just can't get over this. I can't get over. I'm here to tell you, you can't do anything. God can do it. I can't do anything. God can. Worship him. Honor him. Be faithful to him and watch him get you through the fire. Let's all stand in this place, all across this church. Can we stand to our feet as we dismiss and we sing out the song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper. He's a light in the darkness. We sang the song over the hill, and I'm telling you what, man, I just love the words of this song.
maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for giving us another day to breathe, another day to live. And Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name, whatever is going on in our personal lives, the things that we need healing for, the things that we need restoration, the things that need to be restored, I pray in Jesus' name, you would answer our prayer. You would answer our heart's cry. But Father, this morning, I want to make a commitment, and I pray that our church, may their hearts be behind me. That, Father, even if you don't answer the smallest of prayer, maybe you don't answer it, that we will continue serving you for the rest of our lives. May we not only love and serve you because of what you do for us, but for who you are. And Father, I believe in Jesus' name, you're going to raise up a generation, a group of disciples. All you needed was 12. You preached to 5,000, and I'm sure the disciples were so excited, but everyone left except them. But Father, you reaching the world. And through this new generation, through these kids and preteens and teens and their parents, Lord, and our church family, I know you're going to do great things in this place. So, Father, we choose to serve you no matter what, through the good and the bad. We thank you for what you're going to do. Bless our week. May it be productive. May we have a productive week. And I pray that the children would listen to their parents. I'm going to say that one more time, Father. May the children listen to their parents. And may the kids be respectful at school. Yeah. And may they honor their mom and dad. And parents, may we not provoke our children to anger. But may Christ be in the center of everything we do. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Be blessed. Amen. 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 The cafe will be open we're going to be starting in about 15 minutes. So please use the restroom, grab your kids, and about 15.